This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Guys, say hello to my friend Jess. So, thanks guys for hanging. I emailed Jess the other day. I was like, hey, if you come through to New York, I'd love to do a fireside chat with the company. I want to do more of these with you guys, and I couldn't have thought of a better guest. Obviously, we got to know each other quite a bit filming Planet of the Apps, but I've always known from afar, and we ran into each other in a couple nonprofit events through the years of how, you know, impressive of an operator and an entrepreneur and a thinker about marketing and media and business Jess has been for quite a long time. Obviously, she had real fame before that world, and so I don't think a lot of people, you know, that aren't paying attention realize it. And then I got to really see it on display from a business chop standpoint on the show. Obviously, the show was very real. Like, we were critiquing businesses and asking questions. And yeah. I really enjoyed it, and I'm just extremely fond of her. So one more time, please clap it up for somebody. I think I'm gonna ask a couple questions, and then I think we'll open it up to some questions, and then we'll all go on our merry way. So first and foremost, Jess, when did you start thinking about or realize that you had business interests?
I think I always approached my career, even when I was 12 and I started acting, I was like, what's the long game? Like, how do I stay relevant, and how do I become a real player, and how am I going to be meaningful? And so I was always pretty strategic in the way that I approached my career. And I thought of myself as a brand before it was a thing to think of yourself as a brand. I was always really cognizant that anything that I associated myself with was going to be reflective of how people thought of me.
Yep.
And I protected that for a long time. And when I decided to launch my own brand, I really feel like all of that thought really got channeled in the best way. I didn't know what the outcome would be, but I was certainly very aware of being protective of my image from day one.
So on that note, and actually remember this from a conversation now, let's dig a little bit deeper. Was there ever a role that you really jockeyed for and were strategic for, or was there anything that CAA and those characters were pushing you hard to do that you passed on based on this thesis?
Yeah.
Both. Tell us.
Both. So I never got to really show my chops as a real dramatic actress when I was young, because I wouldn't show my boobs. All the good roles were sexy time, and I was like, for whatever reason, I felt like when I was young, it would just be exploited in a way and out of my control in a way that I felt wouldn't be great for my brand before I really articulated it that way. And I also grew up Catholic and Christian, and I couldn't ever deal with my dad seeing me doing that.
Dad?
So, my dad's here.
It's true.
And so, like, I grew up with, like, the guilt and the things and the weirdness, and so, like, that played into it. But I definitely took more or passed up on a lot of opportunities that would have positioned me as an actress in Hollywood in a different way, maybe in a more serious way. But on the flip side, I went the route of wanting to be global, wanting to...
So is that like superhero time? Like, is that
that? Yeah, I looked at the marketplace and I was like, what are the things that go global? And it was superhero franchises, action. It was pre-horror, and it was pre-rom-com being global. And so rom-com was to make you like America's Sweetheart, but it really didn't extend beyond that. But you can get a decent payday and you can be the face of a beauty brand. Fine. Or you can transcend that, the girl stuff, and you can go into boyland and you can do, you know, action hero. And I wanted to be an action hero. So I went.
Because you wanted to collect yourself as an action figure, or?
Well, yeah.
Of course.
I have a few. So yeah, I mean, I've been many action figures over the years. And I started with a TV show that I did with James Cameron called Dark Angel. I was actually offered.
Oh, we remember.
I was 17, and I was like, if I don't get like a role by the time I'm 18 that's going to really make me feel comfortable with choosing this as a path, as a career, then I'm gonna go to school and get a degree and have like a real job.
And so really, you, at that point in your career, you were like, okay.
So between 16 and 18, I gave myself 2 years to really kind of figure out if this was supposed to be my path in life, and I was offered a role in Fast and the Furious, and I was also offered the starring role of James Cameron's first TV show after he did, or his first project after Titanic, and I, you know, I took the James Cameron one, and then from there I was like, all right, I guess this is, these are the stars aligning, telling me that I should maybe. Maybe I should do this for a living. So yeah, from there I just thought strategically about how to maintain that global awareness. And I didn't want to be the girl to the guy that put asses in seats. I wanted to be the girl that put asses in seats. And the way to do that was with action franchises at the time, so.
Very cool. And so how do you think about it now? Like, are you out? You gonna act again? Like, where are you in your...
Like, I really haven't focused on this business for 9 years.
Has it been that, really?
It's been a long time.
When you say that, what does that mean? It's been 9 years since what?
Since I really cared about
like
it.
Like that was, okay. But you've done stuff, right?
Yeah, but like, I got pregnant and I had a kid. At 27, I got pregnant at 26 and had her at 27. And I'd been working for so long at that point. I've been working since I was 12. And hardcore, really, since I was 17. So it was like a solid 10 years of not having a personal life.
Yep.
And not really having any life outside of working, you know, 90-hour weeks often. So I didn't sleep much and I worked a lot, and it was a blessing because it was a dream come true. But then when I actually sat in one place for the first time and I had like a person like growing in my stomach, and I was like, oh my goodness, like she's gonna rely on me to like stay alive.
That is true.
How am I gonna do that? So then my perspective just shifted on like what it means to, you know, have the luck to be alive and to have your health and to want to, I don't know, operate with a different sense of purpose.
Yeah, Nate, right over there in the pink shirt, Nathan, excuse me, he freaked out when he found out that the odds of being a human are 400 trillion to one. That happened to him in LA when we were filming. So he feels that same feeling. So talk about the early days of the business, right? You know, it's such a big business now. Like, all of you should, I don't know if you take visitors, but you should all visit. The office is amazing. What, you know, it's just growing up so in such a big way. Obviously, we've worked with Unilever and Johnson & Johnson, and it gets brought up all the time. And it's so crazy, right? Because you're...
We're like the little engine that could.
That's fine, but you're...
You work with,
Yes, but they're all scared, right? And they're all aware, and they're all impressed. And I think, look, it gets compounded, right? Like, I think that, you know, it's just so impressive to watch you build something so real and so big and compete at the... at a global scale over, and what's interesting is you're going into a different chapter, right? You guys were this digital native brand, and now it's just getting bigger and bigger. And like,
when we,
and it's happening here, right? Like, they know, like, I'm like, we're not 25 people anymore, right? And so like, you change. And so, but you don't change in spirit, you just look differently at 12 and 17 and 26 and what have you. How are you thinking about the business? Like, what's exciting, what's interesting? Give us a quick little update.
I think what's interesting about life in general, and it's something that I guess I only really came to when I got older, was I decided at some point that as right as I ever thought I was when I was 18, telling my parents all the thoughts in the world about how things should be, and I had all the opinions and said all the things, I never wanted to be the same person 10 years from then. And as a company, 5 years ago, we were a very different company, and we've grown up. And I hope 5 years from now, we will be even more grown up. Now, having wisdom doesn't mean that you should not have life and spirit. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be open and still try and learn and change and evolve. It just means that you have, hopefully, the wisdom to not make the same mistake more than 2 or 3 times. Because it just really blows seeing the same mistake.
It blows.
But yeah, like, we're an omni-channel brand as far as distribution goes. Our model has changed a bit. We are in more verticals, more expansive as far as like...
You're hardcore in the beauty thing now, right?
Yeah, we're in beauty. We're launching cleaning at the end of the year. We started primarily in baby and personal care and basic cleaning, but we're really like going deep in verticals where we know we can win and where people have asked us to play in. And we've really kind of evolved into a health and wellness company. Like at the end of the day, a company that puts human health first, no matter what category we go into, it really doesn't matter. And education is as important as the products that we make. And just, you know, being able to empower people with the knowledge to make better choices, to me, is the ultimate mission.
So talk to me about, so this company started from social, right? Talk to me about your personal social media behaviors. How do you roll? Do you create like fake accounts and troll people? Your character, so I know something weird could come out here.
I try to do that. I really try to do that because I feel like I have an alter ego. And I try to have like, you know, my like social media alter ego that's like a little bit naughty.
Really?
But I couldn't do it. It was like too much work. And
so do you have it? Do you use anything?
No, I use all the things. But I started on Twitter. That was my first.
Yep.
That was my first account. And then I went to Facebook. And then Instagram. And
do you snap?
Snapchat, yeah, and Pinterest around the time of Instagram. I have to say, like, whenever I'm going through a transition in my life or something new is happening, like have a new office or got a new house or making over a room, like I pin my life away.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny how it's not like as consistent as like a Snapchat or an Instagram, but it's much more like maniacal.
Utility when you actually need it.
But it's like intense.
Like it's you're like, into
it's
it.
It's like way too much time.
You like pin the fuck out of Pinterest.
Pin the fuck out of my life. morning,
I love it.
I don't even know what's wrong with my brain right now. But yeah, so I'm like.
And where are you most active day to day right now?
I'm on Instagram and Snapchat, and Facebook.
And is your public profile that has the millions and millions of people following the one that you actually use?
Yeah, that's.
And so how do you get through all the noise, like creeper dudes like Trouty?
If Trouty posts an inappropriate picture,
yes,
then I block him.
Got it. He's clearly been blocked.
So red.
This is the greatest moment in this company's history. Period. Got it. So you just kind of just navigate through it.
Yeah, I should actually be a little bit more strategic with social media, but for some reason I'm not. And I don't like know to post at, you know, the better time of the day to post
right.
is at this time, and you should post this type of content versus that type of,
yep.
Like, I don't.
You're just rolling.
I
with
don't
it.
Follow the rules.
I get it.
I just like,
you're doing your thing.
If I'm making matcha and I'm so inspired, you know I'm gonna do a little video
something.
Of my matcha. And that's my life. Or if I'm like into my new kicks,
right.
you're gonna see a photo of
I love it. It's good.
So.
What? So why don't you tell everybody here a little bit about Planet of the Apps? How did that go? How, you know, was that fun?
How do you think it went?
I thought I was great.
I don't know if you guys know this about him, but all he did was scream. They actually had to bring our mics and our voices up to match your scream level. Yeah. So that we could be at the same level.
It's really cool. We filmed in three sets. Like, you pitch, then we mentor, mm-hmm. which I did in LA. Big ups LA, and then we pitched the VC, but they do an episode where they follow all the way through.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first episode is
the beginning, the middle, and the end of the journey of these entrepreneurs, right?
Yes, and I think it's really cool because the first episode is really featuring on our companies.
Yeah, right? It's
so that makes sense.
No, but we shouldn't tell people that.
Right, we're in trouble now. So, but seriously, was it interesting? Like, how'd it go for you?
It was a lot of work.
It was.
It was like stressful. Because, I don't know, I mean, when you're thinking of running your own company, like, you don't stop thinking about it. And you know how important it is to you. And it is. I mean,
it's your life.
It's your life. And it doesn't matter what gets in the way, you're going to figure out how to, like, push through and make things happen. And when things don't happen the way that you want them to happen, you're devastated.
Yeah, that was not the
that's like
when we didn't pick them, that was
so hard.
Bad.
It's horrible. But
some of them deserved it because the company sucked.
That's true. But the problem is in their minds, they don't know that they suck.
Well, yeah, we've all seen American Idol, and the person's like, "I'm the greatest singer of all time," and then they like rip our ears off our bodies.
You know, it hurts them as much as it hurts.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know, like, there's like a very human thing there, and so you don't want to devastate them to the point of them not wanting to continue. But at the same time,
well,
if something like this devastates them that much,
then they had no shot.
That's exactly right. Anyway.
And Will wouldn't allow them to be devastated because every time they didn't make it through, he ran down, hugged them, and gave them his cell number and decided to be best friends with him. So let's flip it. Are you
concerned?
Please. Yes, much better. What about your media consumption? What shows are you watching? Podcasts you're listening to?
What,
you like them?
Yeah.
So are you consuming any shows?
Wait, what are your socks?
Oh, Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Yeah.
I like
mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
Yeah. X-Wing, fine.
Sorry.
Yep.
What shows am I watching?
Yes.
Big Little Lies.
Yes!
Hands in the air. Let's go.
It's like a telenovela with a lot of white people.
Yep.
Like all the drama.
Yep.
It's like really good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really good.
What else?
So I haven't finished the OA. Don't ruin it for me.
You don't have to.
No. It's just like, it's like
Kim keeps it real.
My brain. It just like, it gives me anxiety. And it's like the late night watch of the thing that's gonna make your heart beat fast. Hi, Pierre. My friend Pierre,
hey, Pierre.
His family made macaroons. You know macaroons, the French little thing? He gets mad. Macaroons, you have to say it like a thing. Anyway, so.
Let's clap it up for him.
You know Lottery?
What's that?
Lottery. Mm-hmm. And what do you watch? I don't know.
Nothing.
This
is true.
Watch yourself?
Yes. That's exactly right. You nailed it. You pretty much nailed it. I'm really not watching anything, but that's because I'm already working.
Oh, do you see the?
Yep.
Khalid Bauer. Yes, it's an important documentary. You saw the 13th.
He's what?
You saw the 13th, right?
Oh.
You saw that documentary, right?
Nope.
Oh, Jesus.
But I do love documentaries, and if I consume anything, it's normally that, but I haven't seen it.
You need to see it.
Okay.
It's important.
Okay, I'm in.
It actually really matters.
I'm gonna leave right now. See you guys. All right, what about sports? Your dad is a hardcore Rams fan, which I respect, because they're not good either.
No.
Did you ever have a... The Jets are going to go 0-16 this year, so just getting mentally prepared. Anything with you with sports at this point? Like when the Lakers are good, you're a bandwagon fan?
So my husband grew up with Baron Davis, and so
yep, I know that.
We were fans of whatever Clips. Team he was on.
Mm-hmm. Knicks for a few minutes?
Knicks for a little bit, and
Clippers.
And then Golden State. Mm-hmm. If you know the people who are playing, then you feel more invested. So like that's so whenever I go to a game and I'm like, hey, what's up? Like that's fun.
I bet.
But I haven't gone to games in a while.
Okay.
But they're very
tall.
Tall.
Yep.
And very good at all the like it's like special. Like you would never be able to play basketball.
Nope.
Me? No, but not anything against you.
Not
me,
listen.
Like,
somewhere around fourth grade was when I realized I was more likely to own the Jets than to play for them. That's the punchline. I'm not taking it. All right, let's do some questions. Who's got one?
Oh wait, I have one.
Good. Yeah, do your thing.
So we did a collaboration with the MLB. Do you like baseball?
Oh yeah, I do. I just had my fantasy baseball draft. Stats, are you here? All right, stand up. So everybody boo Stats. He's my main competitor this year in fantasy baseball, but he didn't draft very well, so I'm feeling confident.
So we did a collaboration with MLB, and we did diapers that
I saw.
Have MLB
I saw them in your office.
Six designs.
Red Sox.
Super cute.
Yanks.
Mm-hmm. Cardinals.
Cubs.
Knicks. Cubs.
Knicks or basketball?
Sorry, not Knicks. you got you.
Mets.
Not the Mets.
Yankees. Yankees. We said.
Dodgers.
Dodgers.
And the Giants.
Why do San Francisco.
Jets.
I love it, because you've been affected. You've been
There's
affected.
Jets everywhere.
All right, questions.
Yes.
Here, grab this. And we have a mic over there, and we can go loud too if we have to. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
So,
say your name.
I'm Hassan, nice to meet you.
Hi.
So, Honest Beauty landed at Target last week, congratulations.
Thank you.
With the brand moving from a specialty to mass retail, what's your vision for the next 5 years in terms of growth?
So here's this weird thing. Because I don't come from traditional, you know, CPG or beauty background, I never understood that like the way that people perceive your brand or the integrity of your brand or whatever is based off of distribution and not price point or the quality of your ingredients. It literally 100% has to do with distribution, but now that distribution has all been flipped on its head with every D2C business and with all of these online retailers who are like taking people's lunch and more people who are like giving me an excuse to leave my house and go into your door, I just feel like this is a transitional time and I more than ever just wanna make sure that my products are in people's hands and that my brand is showcased in the best way. And so I don't really have a bias as to where I'm distributed. I just want it to have really great partners and I want it to be done the right way.
Jess is doing something super rad. She's doing like Target Tuesdays?
Target Tuesdays, I'm going into random Targets. I'm finding random people and I'm giving them makeovers on the spot on Facebook.
So everybody, next Tuesday you're allowed to be off, pick a random Target, and hold your breath.
And so today I did two makeovers on Tuesday.
Did they lose their shit?
And so here, like, I was like nervous, like, what if they're gonna like not like it, or like what if they're gonna say no to me?
And sometimes they might not know who you are, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's like four of those people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they might be like, why are you touching my face? Like, I don't know.
And?
And they
loved it.
Yeah. They good.
All right, who else has got a question? Dante, get up here, baby. That was awesome. Dante, that was what you were.
Thank you.
Yeah, you brought it.
So I work in the influencer department here, and I'm sure, you know, we've seen posts, you know, from kind of big influential individuals, people with many followers. How do you think that has contributed to the growth of your business on social, just having those type of people speaking about your brand?
I think influencers are tricky. I actually feel like the influencers that have the like most followers maybe aren't as trusted as people who have like a few thousand or in the high hundreds. Because to me, it's like the people who have that authentic engagement and have that like rabid fan base is more the people that are going to affect change versus someone who's just so giant because
they're pitching products every day, is your thought?
Or because they're just part of a machine and most of the people that are following them are bots, and we know that that whole thing can be gamed. I was never one of those people. I never bought any of my followers, and I do everything myself, and there's no agency or other people that do, you know,
your engagement.
My engagement, but also it was like, for me to be honest, why I'm so involved in my online persona is because I felt like my entire career, I was in someone else's hands. So whether it was Fox's hands,
the Hollywood machine,
the machine of the production company, Paramount, Sony, or whoever, and how they wanted to market me, or the publication that wanted to do the interview of me. I was this version for the GQ reader, and I was that version for the 17 magazine reader, and I was that version for the People magazine reader, and no part of it was really me. So
it was pieces.
For the first time, I really got to tell my story, and I got to be real, and I got to have that direct relationship with myself and have control over, you know, who I am.
The exact quote, the exact way to the end user.
Yeah, and I never got to do that before. And so that's why I care about it so much, and that's why I've been so involved.
And yeah, Rob.
I think that is kind of an interesting segue into what I'm curious about, which is you've obviously invested so much of your personal brand into The Honest Company. You're like super proud of that. You feel like that's kind of your most authentic self. Does it frustrate you if people would still say, like, oh yeah, like if tonight someone went home and said, I saw Jessica Alba, the actress, or would you feel like, you know, that's just part of your broader story?
Before you answer, I just want to make sure the other offices that are watching. So the question that Ram is asking is, you know, if somebody went home tonight and said, oh, I saw Jessica Alba, the actress, you've put so much time and effort in building this business and yourself into it. I guess the question is, would she be, you know, frustrated being identified as that?
I guess it depends on the
context. In the beginning, probably more, right?
No, it really depends on the context. I mean, if people know me more from one thing versus another, I can't expect them to not know me for that. And I'm grateful that I was given the opportunity to have the career in entertainment that I got to have. I actually miss acting. It's so weird.
We need some people for some of our videos. So
I'll do it.
Great. Booked.
My husband's always like, really?
Do you think that means you'll probably do it?
I don't know.
Like, do you think about 71-year-old you, like, acting?
Here's the thing, when you're acting, like, you can always do it. And you only stop doing it when you are like, all right, I never want to play that.
Right,
role.
It's not like an NBA player, right? Like,
no,
you've got
you
that window.
You don't have an expiration date. Now, will you always be get
the same
paid
rules?
The
yep.
same money, or will you still be the ingenue for the rest of your life? No. But do you get to evolve into different, more meatier, different types of people? Sure.
Right, you could be like a funny grandma.
Yeah, I'm like the funniest grandma. I miss it, I do. Do I care if people think of me as an actress? It depends on the context. If someone's just trying to be mean-spirited and take away what I've built, then sure, it hurts my feelings. I am a sensitive person. But if someone just doesn't really know me from anything else, then I'm like,
that's the reality.
Right, that's cool.
Good. Anybody else?
Hi.
Yep, great, hey, Lise.
Hi. What brings you the most joy? Would you say it's your acting, or would you say it's your business venture, or something else?
I probably have like an unhealthy relationship with acting. It's like the boyfriend who's never really that into you.
Tell me more.
It's exactly like Gary. Just want him to not look over my shoulder when talking to him, but he's always interested in what's going on.
It's true. Where's the camera?
I have to say, though, as far as like legacy in all seriousness and personal fulfillment, I never thought that I would be able to have such a full life and being an entrepreneur and being able to create a company and create a vision and create solutions for people that have really transformed their lives, and also to watch people really grow up in their own lives, in their own careers, and watch personal development on such an intimate level. Because prior to this, I would spend a lot of time with strangers for about 4 months, and then I'd never see them again. But the time that I spent with them was every day, all day and night.
And it was the best.
And you create those like some really intimate relationships quickly, but then they go away, and it was so fleeting. But there's something so permanent about going into the office every day and I see the same people that I saw 5 years ago, and I see who they are today versus who they were when they walked in 5 years ago. And that's so dope, just to see how people evolve and to have those personal connections.
Love that. Yep. Rebecca, you can come up to the mic. Oh, you got one? Go ahead.
Hey, Ari.
Go ahead.
So I know you've done a lot of really cool work, specifically with kids. What's the most powerful experience that you've had helping kids, and how has that impacted the choices that you make in your life?
Wow.
Curveball.
Yeah, no, this is like a loaded question, because I feel like I'm 100% have dedicated my life in a weird way to helping kids. And this is the first time I actually kind of thought about it that way. But
dude. This is huge.
I was a really sick kid when I was younger, and I wanted to, literally anything would be better than to be sick and to be in the hospital and to have surgery. And I had multiple surgeries and multiple health problems, and I literally just wanted to be anyone else, which is why I wanted to be an actor, because it was like a way for that to actually be real as it can be, and certainly to be a superhero and be larger than life, because I was like, they can overcome anything. And so, yeah, I mean, from helping, being able to provide families with products is one thing, but even just like basic essentials, you know, infant mortality is a huge issue in this country, and a lot of babies get suffocated while they're sleeping because parents can't provide a safe place for them to sleep. And we did an initiative where we provided, and we still have an ongoing thing. I'm on the board of this organization called Baby to Baby, and one of our big initiatives is to give families a safe place for their new baby to sleep, so that they never have to worry about that. And that's like a real thing, and that's incredibly meaningful. I also got the opportunity to go to Africa with Bono and Queen Rania around the World Cup to fight for education reform, a global education fund, so that every person had access to a comprehensive education, and most people who don't have access are women. And so that is incredibly meaningful, and being able to give girls an opportunity to just empower themselves to get themselves out of the situation that they don't want to be in, and change their family's life and their own life. And so there's been a lot of these circumstances, but yeah, I'm very, just thinking about it, it's very cool, because I don't often get to. But probably raising my own little stinkers has probably been the most meaningful, but being able to be part of so much change. And it's scary and weird and crazy as our country feels right now with certain political things, I feel like there's enough of us out there that walk with integrity and care about the right things, and we're going to continue to be progressive in how we operate, and that will always win.
Awesome.
I think the thing that I have learned that no one told me, it's sort of like being a parent, like no one tells you what you're really in for as far as the sleepless nights and you'll never not worry again thing that happens. In business, you never underestimate your gut. There's a lot that you can learn, right, in school or through experience and making mistakes, but trusting your gut and knowing what you don't know is just as important as knowing what you do know. And being able to have the humility to support what you don't know with experts and other people to fill those gaps, and trusting your gut.
Love it. Go ahead. Here, grab this.
Mic. Yeah. I don't need a mic.
Go ahead, but they need it.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Tatiana. I'm Peruvian American, I'm Latina, so my question is gonna be related to that. I think today, it's exciting to see representation and recognition both on screen and off where there wasn't always.
Yeah.
That being said, it hasn't always been easy, and I think, especially with today's political climate, what I would love to know is what advice you have for young Latina entrepreneurs that are looking to build businesses and be successful, if you've faced any specific challenges or advantages in that respect.
Advantages, no.
Yeah.
Why guy?
Yeah.
If you want advantages in the world. I mean, that's just the way it is. It helps if you're tall and good looking too. But you know, being a girl who's just trying to figure it out and doesn't, you know, for me, I'm just talking from my own experience, I never had a traditional or conventional background or education, nor did I have nepotism that got me to where I'm at, and I literally had to paid my own way, and I had to figure it out and create that path and have the vision for myself. And it was almost the naysayers that drove me to prove them wrong. And also, like, when you don't have anywhere to go but up, there's almost like something nice about that, because people don't expect you to fail because they don't think you're capable of doing anything more than nothing. And so then there's even more like of a fire to prove them that you can, and that you can make a difference. What can you do? I think you have to first really figure out what it is you're trying to do in the world. How are you going to be different? Look at the competitive landscape, be very realistic with yourself, and make sure that you have a very unique proposition or perspective or point of view, because if you're just a Me Too company, why do it?
I think the one thing I would add, just I'll jump into this one because I love it so much. I think the one thing that true entrepreneurs need to realize is that the market doesn't care. Let me tell you one great thing about the market. Like, it wants to make money. Right? Do I think some VCs may say you don't look the part? No, sure, but I've got a news alert. I don't usually invest in white affluent dudes from good families because I don't think they have a chip on their shoulder. So I'm playing the reverse. Yeah. And the truth is, I've been wrong and I've been right. So I think the one great, if you're a purebred entrepreneur, you realize you're getting punched in the fucking mouth 24/7, 365 anyway. The market is the market. And if you dwell on what you are and why you're not winning because of that, you would have never had it's no different than the people we said no to.
You can't be a victim of circumstance. And it's sort of like blaming your parents. It's like, yeah, right. Everyone has a history and you can blame your parents until you're blue in the face. But if you only work on, like, focus on that, you'll never get over it and be an adult and figure your own life out. And by the way, your parents are just trying to do the best they could and they do a manual, which I learned later in life. but yeah, like you just, I think if I would have started The Honest Company when I wanted to start, it would have been too early. And actually having 3 years of rejection, it gave me the armor to take on actually getting funding and starting the company and taking all of the punches and all in my face and my eyes and my ear and my nose that constantly came at me.
And still do every day.
And still do every day, of course. But I have more like calluses, and so I can like take it differently than I could have.
We'll sneak in two quick ones. Sorry, just Pam.
Hey, I'm Pamela. Thank you again for being here. My question's a little bit more about the blend of your personal life and your professional life, and what a typical day looks like for you, if there is a typical day. And then if you have any rules of thumb or tips and ways that you keep your friendships alive, your relationship and your family time kind of protected, and also have time for passion projects and your job.
Does it look like I have it all figured out? Because I really don't. I'm always, every day, just trying to do the best I can. No 2 days are the same. I'm constantly trying to create routines because I feel like that's good. And everything that I've read about successful people is they start early. I hate waking up early. It like hurts all of my feelings. And every time I wake up early, it's just like, why me? But I read so much that successful people, I feel like you start early. Yeah, you do.
I'm not, it's not early or late. It's for me, it's just maximizing when I'm awake. Like people are always like, how much do you sleep? Thinking I'm gonna say 3 or 4. Like I'm dying to get 6 or 7 because I think it's healthy.
Yeah,
it's just that I'm fucking on all 18 hours right. When I'm awake, right?
Yeah. He is.
Oh, they know.
I wish I figured out the secret sauce. I don't know. I have friends that I was really close with at certain periods of time, and now we're not, and now I have other friends that I'm really close with, and I kind of give myself a break. and so I just think that if you could not think of the pressure of like society of who you need to be, and you're just really true with who you are, and know that you're trying to do the best you can kind of just figure it out. That's my theory. It's probably wrong.
It's so right.
But I wish I was better at like waking up early and eating healthy and exercising and calling my mom. Like I'm just not good at stuff. But I'm good at like being with my kids and telling them about things. And then when they yell at me enough about the same thing over and over again, I can sometimes say like, okay, you're right. I'm probably doing the wrong thing, and try to do better next time.
Hi, my name is Jermaine. My question is more around entrepreneurship. What are your top 3 factors that inspires you to become an entrepreneur? And what order would you rate those 3 factors?
3 factors that inspired me to be an entrepreneur. Social justice was my big one. I felt like it was completely unfair that only people who lived in a certain tax bracket deserve to have a better life and had access to not just better products, but more education to make better choices. And so I would say that's 1, 2, and 3. And I went and lobbied for chemical reform and tried to work at that angle, and I got nowhere. And they made it a partisan issue, and it's a human health issue. And when you're like, this is just like a civil right. People should just know what's in stuff and how it's going to affect their health. And the fact that the government won't protect us, someone needs to go out there and prove that people want this, and people will vote with their wallets.
Always.
And that's what really drove me every day, and that's what still drives me.
Jess, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah,
I love you.